Hopefully. Hey, Larry?
Hey, John.
Oh, you're on. Okay, all three of us are on. Okay. Larry Bish is on.
I can hear Larry.
Yeah,
JB, can you hear Larry?
Yeah, I can hear everybody.
Okay, everybody just one at a time. So we're going to, here's the way, we got three people on the phone, okay, and one in the studio. So the only way to make sense of this is for us to go kind of in a circle, one to the other. And what I'm going to do, I'll open and we'll go JB, Mike, and then Larry. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And try to keep it short, you know, reasonably, so that we can, you know, do it that way and sort of hold your powder till we go around the circle. Now, the other thing is, I was just going to open just a little bit, you know, with what I think all of us should be sort of thinking about thematically. And that is the federal shutdown is over, or at least at a standstill now for 3 weeks. And it's been a product of a wide-ranging resistance. I mean, the accumulation of marches, but also at the critical time, the public school teacher strikes and the federal workers. And at the last moment, the air traffic controllers have played an absolutely unbelievable role in having the power to bring this thing to kind of a standstill, at least for now. So that's why I was going to open with that. I think it's a historic moment for labor and for the country and a critical turning point. I'm going to hand it off first to JB. He was just down at the Labor Council, where the ramifications of this were just accumulating there too, and I'm sure he can tell you about that. Why don't we start now? And JB, why don't you take it away and let it rip.
Yeah, I mean, I missed a lot of this stuff because I was driving back from Charleston today and didn't turn the news on or anything, but I caught up pretty quickly when I got home. It is a historic time. You know, started out with Roger Stone getting arrested early this morning, and I think everybody enjoyed that first thing. And then everything that happened during the day, I missed most of it, but we have had a wonderful week in Charleston with all the union brothers and sisters down there for the conference. That was really good. We had about a full table. We had about 10 people at our table that came down from the Eastern Panhandle. So we had a really good contingent there. But a lot of stuff going on in Charleston. But the national news, I think, takes precedent, and maybe Mike can lend some credence to his thoughts on it.
Go for it, Mike.
Well, thank you, JB. I appreciate that. First and foremost, John's right, the crucial people. I go back to a story I heard just recently over the wires that came in down in Atlanta, where the person in charge of the TSA workers in that facility barged into the president of the airport's office and said, look, if you don't take care of this, we're gone. We are gone. Do you understand what that means? No Super Bowl. You understand that? No Super Bowl. The security guard tried to stop her, and she told the security guard to get the hell out of her way. And he did. That tells me that security guard was more interested in working people than he was in obstructing her and her mission. Mm-hmm. So people that work in this country, that work every day for, you know, probably what's not enough pay and not enough benefits, are telling the power elite, you want to play, we'll play. Next time, not so nice.
All right, man.
So that's my gathering from this is the United States citizenry realizing just how powerful we really are. Just how much influence we really have. Because yesterday, at a banquet luncheon, four senators from the Republican Party rattled off vulgarity towards their leader, Mitch the Turtle Urinal McConnell, and said, get this shit straight. And he did. He had to. He had no choice. So, you know, this is the fakest of shutdowns. This is like the Seinfeld show about nothing. The shutdown was about nothing. Nothing. No one benefited. Everyone got hurt. This is typical Trump business. And we cannot move forward with this idiot at the helm. He has to go.
All right, Mike.
Resignation. Amendment, the 25th Amendment. What? Impeachment. I don't care.
All right, Mike. Let's save the after we get back thing for just a minute. We're gonna have more than one round. Okay.
I've said my piece and I've counted to 10. Here we go.
Okay. Well, stay on the air, man.
Please count to 10.
Larry's,
I love it.
Larry's coming next. Larry's coming next, man. Thank you. That, you hit the nail right on the head, as the Vietnamese used to say. Whatever. Anyway, go ahead, Larry. Welcome back, by the way, buddy, from your medical journals.
On Mike's remarks, the guy is an obvious, I mean, Bush was an obvious imbecile. He couldn't string a decent sentence together. So, you know, in my realm, in my world, if you can't write, you don't really think well. If you can't use the English language, your thinking is not good. It's not good. All right, so I learned that in college. But when I hear this guy talk, every time I hear him talk, I think, what an idiot. This guy is an idiot. He's a blowhard. All right. That said, I just wanted to follow up on Mike's sentiment. And then I wonder, since you guys are so much more versed in the unions than I am, in the operations of it through the ages, through the year. My experience with unions has been mostly from my youth, my childhood. My dad and all the men in my family were steel people worked in steel mills. They all belonged to the union, and the unions were connected, the AFL-CIO. If they went on strike, the country shut down, and they knew it. And so when they negotiated a contract, they had a lot of muscle. We'd go on strike. I had surplus food, you know, cheese blocks. I'm familiar with all that from my childhood, and that all went away. And what slowly replaced it is a totally unacceptable inequality and a assumption of power in this whole country. You know, just went down shitter, middle class, by. And then it just reminds me of the steel strikes when people would. It wouldn't just be the mill where my dad worked like it is now. It was much broader than that. And so I'm enjoying the possibility of seeing a return to that. The other thing about this is how the media, in my opinion, did not give enough coverage to the protests that were going on. I think they should have been a lot more focused on that, because it's important, and it got ignored, more or less, these brief mentions here and there. But there is a psychology. The first, when you come on an accident, I've said this before on this program, nobody's going to do anything until somebody does something. And then everybody pitches in. What I'm thinking here are the Republicans. Okay, so they're cowering, or they're standing back, or they don't know what to do. Oh, geez, you know, if I do this, I'll get in trouble, you know, I don't want to be against my group or whatever. But a few of them do, and then the right thing tends to happen, I think.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see. You know, so we'll see if the Republicans get some courage. You know, I don't favor them because I don't agree with them. You know, but I can't quite grapple with the notion that they're all pig shit. You know.
How could there be that many pig shits? Let's pause there, Larry, and let me raise the ante a little bit and ask a kind of a parallel question to the last one, which was, you know, our immediate reactions. But now, of course, we're looking at a political situation where I don't think. That I think that Mitch McConnell is correct that the there's no education in the second kick of a mule, and so I think the likelihood of them not finding enough agreement so that recurrence of the shutdown can be averted, because I can't see how that would not lead very quickly to actions even broader than the one that brought this one down. And let's mention what Mike went really into, and I think it was good that you highlight that, Mike, that the role of the air traffic controllers. But it's coming on the heels of a whole surge of public worker activity. You know, the Los Angeles teachers strike, which was sort of sparked by West Virginia and ended up getting basically the cat's meow of a settlement, because it was so huge, of smaller class sizes, things of direct public benefits to the kids. And man, you know, they kicked ass. And then on top of that, the federal workers protest. You were not allowed to protest. You know, but obviously the little the absentee thing came from the air traffic controllers finally reached a point where these guys could say to their bosses, "This is not safe. We got 7,000 flights coming inbound, and we're short staffed."
Let's not forget that it was the air traffic controllers were the first union to get crushed by Reagan.
That's right.
The most publicized
one. That's right. Anyway.
They completely destroyed them, rehired them.
That's right. And now they had but their new association is still a labor organization. So, you know. Anyway, the question I want to ask is long term. Okay. We have Trump is weakened, but he's not dead. And he is vulnerable now. I love the cartoons of Nancy Pelosi, whipping him like an elephant and leading him with a camera, you know, so I thought that was so cool, you know, but anyway, so what do you guys see now is the political landscape in the wake of this standstill and likely serious defeat for Trump? How is it going to go and how should it go? JB, why don't you give us a thing? And also, use your experiences from the labor. We heard a lot of experiences this last week from the FLCIO Legislative Conference, so that's relevant, too. Go ahead, JB.
Well, I mean, the country is so upside down right now with this lockout, and people aren't freaking out. I mean, I guess it should have been worse. You'd think there'd be a lot more violence and like they do in other countries, but people in America are pretty chill, and I think they're starting to change their mind about Trump. His numbers are falling drastically, and you know, people are calling him into question. Unlike the Republican Congress over the last 2 years, they let him have, they were let him off scot free. You know, he had carte blanche to do whatever he wanted to. And now it seems like we're starting to get a little more control, and everyone around him is falling. You know, the all the king's horses and all the king's men. You know, it's falling fast. And with Roger Stone going down this morning, I mean that is huge.
It is huge, yeah.
And I had to listen to Rush Limbaugh. You know, I don't listen to him very long, but I was looking for a good station, and I heard Rush, and he was defending Trump and defending Roger Stone, and you know, this is all a setup. And I mean, they'll never give up until all these guys are in jail, and then they got nothing to say, right? I mean, what would they say if they're all in jail?
Right.
They'll have to change, or maybe the advertisers will stop dropping them, and they won't have any money, and you know, eventually they'll go away. But I do see a sea change here. NACTA, National Air Traffic Controllers, I sent you Mike Foreman's contact information. We can call him later on. He used to be the president of the Charleston Airport for the air traffic controllers, so he might know some inside.
Oh, we met him. You introduced me to him once, right?
Right.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'm sure you met him.
All right. Go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry.
And anyway, so he's willing to talk if you want to call him. I told him around 7:15, and then Bill DiPaolo also wanted to weigh in, and he's an attorney down in Lewisburg, and I think you have that information on your phone too.
All right. Well, I don't. We would have to start dropping people off to do that because we have a maximum bandwidth for three here. It'll start sounding really funky after that. So let's see if we can get through this, and we might have to reschedule that. For another time, JB.
Well, you don't have to. I can jump.
No. I'd rather not. Deal. Okay. I don't want the program to go on all that long because I want to get it really podcastable.
May I just jump in here?
Yes, you're next in line, my friend. You're next in line.
It's your turn.
Okay, it's your turn.
I just wanted to follow on with what JB is talking about. Anyway, how you like my meemaw Pelosi? How you like meemaw Nancy? How you like her?
President
My meemaw Nancy is the type of meemaw that says to you very delicately, look, this is a serrated blade. This blade is serrated, and I'm going to jam it into your abdomen. I don't want you to cry. Don't cry. It's okay. I brought cookies. It's fine. I'm going to jam it into your abdomen. It's going all the way back into your spine, and you will become completely immobile. No, don't. It's okay.
Good Lord, Mike.
Jesus. She's a spirited, strong, powerful woman who realizes her power.
She's sort of come into it.
That right there, the man sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, that is the reason why he shut down the government.
You know what?
He wanted to slow down the FBI investigation into him and his principles, and it still didn't work. Okay, it didn't work.
You're right, man.
Yeah, Roger Stone can say whatever he wants to. Roger Stone has been lying to everyone for years. He's been pretending to be other people on alt-right websites. He is a racist, a white supremacist piece of shit. Okay? Roger Stone, honestly, in my opinion, should be executed for treason. That's my opinion.
Okay, we've heard from the Quakers.
He's not proven guilty, but I think we all know that he's culpable.
Look, he's a rat effer from way back. Larry's next though.
For him to say, there's no evidence. There's no you have no documentation. Roger, there's texts.
Yeah.
There's emails. There's Facebook direct messages. The guy's done. He's finished.
Okay. He was a plumber. His time has come. Anyway, Larry, give us your...
By the way, one more thing.
Okay.
Hey, Roger, how does it feel to be your time in the barrel?
Right. I saw that. That's a great one.
Great. Okay, Larry, go ahead.
All right, Kip Moe. Here's Kip Moe. This was just a little bit.
Can't hear it very well.
Nah, it's not coming through.
Okay, this is called Put the Woman in Charge.
There you go.
Put the woman in charge. Play that.
Put the woman in charge.
I'll play it at the end. I'll play it at the end.
I told my wife the other night, I said, all you white men, hey, we've had a good run. Sit back, relax, let the ladies do their job.
If she did, that'd make five or six women running for president.
Yeah.
Kill it.
Unprecedented.
Love it.
So
yeah,
it really is.
Guys out of there.
You guys thought go ahead, man.
Get them down.
Unbelievable.
So I think that's a point that's a development and that we can look to with some encouragement.
And so, you know, there's that. Now, this is a smack in the face for Ann Coulter. She's going after Trump, so that's good. This is leaving Fox News with not much to say. And so, you know, it's all a good thing. We'll see how it goes, but we keep it going.
Right.
The idea that there's power in unity and that and the people in the United States are a little more educated. Now that's all good, because those are the things that were hurting us.
But that's for sure.
Ignorance and a dishonest and misleading media, the propaganda machine, really. Before I go,
go ahead, man.
I gotta go. Before I go, I want to relate my experience with single payer health care.
All right, do it, man.
The problem I have, I've been diagnosed with head and throat cancer. And I want to say that at least more than half of the people who are treating me, and they're, by the way, they're excellent professionals. They're really, really good. More than half of them are immigrants. The radiologist doing my treatment is an immigrant.
Is what?
Wow.
Oh, was an immigrant. Okay, sorry. Thank you. Go ahead. Yeah.
So I'm sitting in a waiting room yesterday. See the oncologist, and Fox News is on, and the room's full. And they cited a poll, this panel, and it was complete bullshit.
Right.
And I just said, not loudly, I said, oh, that's bullshit. And none of those veterans said a word against that. And one of them got up and changed the channel. I think that was fair.
There's a lot right there, brother.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good moment. That's a good moment.
I want to get that in.
Where you were.
Yeah.
Well, Larry,
I want to mention where you were.
Context is everything. I was in a waiting room at the oncology department to see my oncologist at the VA hospital in Martinsburg.
Right, the VA. The VA is very important.
Single-payer medicine. That's there you go. That's right.
Larry, if you need any information from my brother, let me know. If I can help in any way, transfer information from my brother Dan, who's still working on his survival from stage 4 colon and liver. If there's anything you know, it's not the same. I know, I understand. It's all very different. Every case is different. But if you need any information from him, let us know, please.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'll take advantage of that if I need it. But I'm getting a lot of help from a lot of people.
One last thing, Larry. Before you, I know you got to go, but. Now we're going to be spending, it looks like, another 3 weeks at least debating border security, regardless of whether it's an issue or not. It's going to be part of getting somewhere past the 3 week mark. Now, but in fact, we have an almost emerging crisis, immediate crisis on two fronts. One is pensions, and one is health care. Because they've been killing it with 1,000 cuts, and of course we're headed into a situation now where the budget is not going to be able to cover some things that it was going to be covering. So, how are we going to? We're going to end up at losing at least 3 weeks of not debating health care and pensions, which we should be debating. And
right.
So I'm hoping that we get. That's part of the problem, right? We're in this no man's land kind of now, right? Where the only issue is still Trump's border wall. That's the only thing that anybody can do. You got to get through the border wall or you can't go anywhere.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I wish you well, buddy. And okay.
Well, I think I'm going to be fine. It's very serious. I'm in for a rough ride, and people I've talked to have gone through this have not thought so good at all. They said, yeah, this is terrible. But I've got good people on my side and a whole lot of support from where I work and people in my family. So, and you guys.
Right.
JB Paul.
Well, don't forget your audiences.
Yeah.
You're going to thank them, right?
Well, I got a lot of good wishes from the inmates, believe it or not.
Right. Oh, really? Oh, no kidding. Well, okay.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Absolutely, man. They're kind of your clients, right? Yeah. Your customers.
Yeah.
Okay, buddy.
So, we'll see. But Yeah, that's about all I have. And you're right. You know, we got. I was wondering about what you said about online about the Republicans in Charleston. And he sounded so typical. You know?
Oh, well, that was true. We were at the council. JB can tell you about this, too. We ended up going and visiting the legislators, and we listened to our, you know, the labor lobbyists sort of evaluate from the different unions that have different kind of issues, the bills. And what the Republican leadership was doing was very aggressive revenge, really, against the teachers first, for teachers and the labor unions first. And a lot of other people, and in the meantime, not doing the budget and wasting time debating things like should religious literacy be required in public schools?
Right.
Petty, yeah. And they're hypocrites, and you know, what are you going to do? I don't know where so many of them come from, but they're definitely losing some ground.
Yeah, well, anyways.
Hey, I found out that any constituent can ask an elected delegate to introduce a bill, and they'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Seriously. Well. Seriously, they'll do it. It's part of the service.
Okay. Well, we should ask. How about the bill that everybody that supports Trump should resign?
I mean, they wanted to put $10 million towards the border wall, so I think that's appropriate.
Yeah, I heard about that. I saw a constituent that brought that up. Yeah.
I heard they had a GoFundMe that got $20 million.
Oh, good Lord.
That's not $5
billion. Oh, no, that's out now. They have to return all that money.
Good.
Oh, okay.
And the coal industry asked for a decrease in the severance tax. Seriously,
all right.
I think it's from 20% to 15%.
Of course, they know you want to ask me,
Larry.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do one joke for my act for you, and I hope you enjoy it. I don't mean anything mean by it, but a friend of mine here in town is a real religious nut. You know, he's one of those guys who constantly tries to sell you his perverted view
his
of
take.
The Bible and interpretation of the teachings of Christ. And he said to me, he comes up and he says, Michael, and this is after I'd been on the road for a long time, he says, do you believe in God? Have you spoke to God? Have you spoke to Jesus? And my wife's looking at me, she's shaking her head going, don't respond,
don't respond.
And I looked at him and I said, yeah, Victor, I talked to both of them, and both of them told me not to talk to you.
You fake. Thank you, Reverend whoever you
Thank
are,
you.
You know, okay? Okay, I got one other thing.
I try to make Larry laugh a little bit.
Let me give you guys a hard question to evaluate here and now. I'm going to make a controversial statement. I'm going to see whether we might even tempt Larry not to hang up yet, but if you're going to go, Larry, you know, that's okay too. So, Joe Manchin predicted what was going to happen here in his speech to the delegates before it happened. And he predicted it. He said that there was going to be two votes. One was going to be the Republican, one was going to be the Democrat, and there was going to be a group in the middle that voted for both. And that was the both were agreed on making the proposal to the president through or convincing Mitch to make the proposal to the president that
hold on.
Wait a minute. Let me finish, Mike, okay, before Mitch. But come on.
You're so rude, John. Stop it.
I am not. I'm giving you a tip here, man.
Give me an opportunity to speak.
Well, you can speak after I speak, okay?
I forgot it's your show. I'm sorry.
Hold on. You're going to make me forget what I was saying, Senator. Okay? And I was about to compliment you. And there you go. But anyway, Mitch has taken the bull by the horns and taken this proposal for a three-week end and a negotiated compromise period for on the border stuff. And that was the proposal that Joe said that they were going to make, and he didn't think it had much chances of success at the time. But we got to thank the air traffic controllers that, yes, that actual tactic in this case worked. And it caused a little explosion, and the Republicans blinked first, and Mitch had to make the walk to avoid the second kick of the mule.
I love it.
What do you think about that? So, Joe Manchin, give me your thoughts on Joe Manchin.
He's a hero now.
Yeah, he goes back and forth, doesn't he?
He made up for past mistakes.
I have to give it to him that he does stick by his constituents, or he seems to, and he does his best to include them all. And his stance and coal, of course, I object to, but I can't take away from him that he does his job. I don't like conservatives in general. Democrat is a little more a stick in my craw, but I guess that has to happen.
Well, I don't think he's going to make a national run for anything like president. He's way too far to the right of the center of the Democratic Party. But he's probably going to run for governor again. I think he is going to run for governor. Hey, is Jim Justice on the line? Can he respond to that?
All right. Well, I've got to go, gentlemen.
Okay. Well, anyway, I guess not. So anyway, so long, Larry. Thank you. Take care, buddy. Okay.
Sure. Praying for you, brother.
All right, man.
Thanks.
Say bye-bye. Okay, well, there you go, guys. JB, why don't we arrange it?
My line went dead, didn't it?
No.
Gotta go.
No, you're there. Okay. We hear you.
I can hear you.
Oh, now I can hear you.
Oh, yeah, now. Yeah. No, I hear you. Yeah.
I was like a dead spot back in the day when I was talking on the cell phone to my wife. I'm driving on 68, just coming back from a gig. That was weird.
Well, that's probably when Larry was hanging up. It probably clicked. It probably clipped. Broke the stream a little bit when it hung up.
Click, and then there's a dead.
Yeah.
So. Right,
anyway, well, you guys, I think that you all had good contributions here on this matter. It's blowing my mind a little bit thinking about the implications of how this public labor movement has been the one that pulled.
May I say one thing?
Yeah.
Who I'm supporting for president on the Democratic side?
Well, of course, if you're ready to charge in at this moment, I think you should.
I'm ready.
Okay,
I'm
man.
All in. My cards are all in. They're all on the table for Kamala Harris. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. I like that.
My girl.
I like that.
My girl.
I like her, too. Right. She's very confident.
That's who I am. That's who I am supporting. She's strong. She's powerful. She speaks well. She explains herself. She understands what happened to her in the past. She tells people exactly. I know they're going to hang that crap on her. From her being the district attorney and in charge of that stupid ass bad lab report, that's fine. Let me tell you something. This woman, look out.
She kicks ass.
That's all right. Saying.
We need somebody that does that.
My girl is a little bit, she and the thing is that I dig about her more than anything else is she's self-deprecating. You know that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to point one thing out to John and JB. I just want to say this. I wanted to say this before we got off the line with Larry. I want to say this. The thing about Nancy, I say that jokingly about her plunging the blade into your abdomen. One of the things this country has been missing since 2016 is real honest-to-God leadership. To say, I'm going to do this, this is what I'm going to do, and this is why I'm going to do it. And I'll be damned if Nancy didn't say, no. No, 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 no.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And she put it right in his face, and everybody went, damn.
I know.
Well, didn't the stewardesses say they were going to go out first?
Yep. They sure did.
And they had a press conference, and they looked like they were.
The leader said, "We're gone."
Right.
I know. So the upsurge from working from the working class in a lot of ways was just unbelievable. But let me say something about Nancy. I understand that before she made her decision, I read this in the San Francisco Press, that before she made her decision to say no, remember there was that little pause between Steny Hoyer kind of misspeaking that she wasn't going, mm-hmm. to, you know, and then she clarified matters. In between that, she had a visit from, you know, Mr. Deep Game, former Governor Jerry Brown, who she, right. Who's a master of playing, you know, the strategic game. And
one of the best tactician politicians you ever want to have on your side, brother.
I know. And a man who said, how did you manage to smash the Republican Party in California? He says, well, you know, when I was young, I hated my adversaries too much. But Buddhism helped teach me how to defeat them with peace.
Jerry, that's Jerry, right?
Yeah, it's just about. Yeah.
I love Jerry.
I love that comment. That's beautiful. Well, fellas, I got to go eat the dinner that I made.
All right, so. It's time. Okay, go ahead, dude.
It's time for Mike and Patience to eat trash cans.
All right.
Casserole.
Well, give her our love.
I'm having
Patience.
A secondhand pizza.
There you go, brother. I'm having casserole, guys. Guys, we love our audience. We love you guys. Keep working hard, and we'll beat those Republicans' ass. All right,
man. Thanks, Mike. Thanks,
good
Mike.
Job.
All right, you ready to go?
Hey, John, you want to call? You want to call Bill?
I want to do it in a separate show, man. I really do. I do. Can we do that separately?
I have to tell them because they're waiting to be called.
Are they at a single number?
Yeah, I've sent them to you.
Okay. Well, did you send them to me on? See, I'm looking at the computer. I don't look at my phone when I'm on. Oh, let me look at it now. Hold on.
I sent it to you as a text.
Okay.
Posted it.
Well, I have to look at the Skype screen while I'm on here. Okay. So hold on. I'm gonna
too get many
you.
Too many things to look at.
Well, yeah, and I got three or four screens to keep the whole system running. You know, so
You could call Bill or you could call Mike, but we should call one of them at least, and then I'll
I just got to get the number in front of me, dude. Okay, so yeah. We should be home to say this is a retired Charlie West. Is that him?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Mike Foreman.
Okay,
yeah.
So I'm going to add people to the call, and we're going to use the dial pad, and we're going to go United 6304. Okay. 344. Oops. 344-0664. Okay, let's see what happens here.
You know, show business is always late anyway, so...
Hello.
Not a big deal.
Hi, this is John Case, and we're calling from the Progress Radio Show. J.B. Christensen's on the phone, too. Have I got Charlie?
This is Mike.
Mike. So, well, J.B., why don't you introduce Mike to our audience here, okay?
Yeah, Mike Foreman is an old friend of mine. I've known him forever, and he was former president of the Charleston Airport for the air traffic controllers, the... NACA, National Air Traffic Controllers Association. And one of the first questions I wanted to ask you, Mike, because I know you're probably smoking cigars tonight, because I've seen you do before. Are you going in the hot tub?
I will be going in a little later. I think I'm going to take my wife out, and maybe we'll go to the casino and have some fun.
Right. So,
very happy
day. Tell us a little bit about your career in the air traffic controllers and how proud you are of your members.
All right. Well, I started out in 1984. I was in the Air Force and spent 3 years active duty out in California as a controller. And then the FAA hired me 87, and from 87 to 2016 until I
retired. That's a long time.
Almost 32 years, yeah.
Man.
I was happy today. I went down to the airport to do some leafleting for my brothers. They're not allowed to do that on duty, obviously, because they're federal employees. So I thought I would go down there and do that and just wait it out and see what happened. I got a lot of friends, and they're just suffering just so much the last 30 days or so, gone two paychecks. And it'll probably be two more weeks before they get paid, because that's just how it works in the government. They don't have a way to pay you in the middle of a pay period. So it'll probably be two more weeks before they see any money.
Wow. Wow. How do you...
Maybe Trump can intervene and get everybody paid right.
Well, the president said he would do that. I'm not sure how he does it. I mean, people, you have to get things up and running again. And if he can, that'd be fantastic. I know they're all eager to get paid for work they've done. And I know that especially my brothers in New York and some of the busier places that are working 6 days a week, 10 hours a day, 58 hours a week. I'm sure they're going to be happy to get their money.
Well, and probably get some.
It's hard work, too. Yeah. It really is. You really got to be on your toes.
Right. So, let me ask you.
There's no such thing as a second best game. You have to always have your A game. Always.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right. Just like
absolutely.
The Giants, right?
Mike. I heard on CNN that there were the crisis sort of built up, and then there were 7,000 inbound flights, you know, the people who were kind of losing resources, you know, as time went on. And it just reached a point where people thought it was not safe at all. That's kind of the way the narrative on CNN evolved today. Is that close to it? Or?
Well, I know that LaGuardia had some issues, some staffing issues. Let's just say right now that the FAA, the air traffic controllers of the FAA, are at a 30-year low. And depending on where you work, it takes one to three or 3.5 years to be certified after you get your initial training. So you have initial training, then you're sent to your first airport, and it's 1 to 3 years of training. So it takes a long time, and under certain administrations, hiring is just based on who's running the show. So Obama hired a lot of controllers, and I'm not really sure. It doesn't seem like this administration has hired as many. There was a couple of freezes. In the meantime, while the shutdown is working, there's no training. Trainees are sent home. There's no training, and you're back down to your basic journeyman, trying to hold the act together. And you know what you have going on is people can't afford childcare, so it starts to build up over time. It's just a very difficult situation.
Right.
I know my brother who took my place at Jaeger. He has MS. And he has, he starts to worry about, your drugs and stuff like that. And
oh, absolutely.
Very careful.
Wow.
A lot of stuff going on.
What about contractors? Are there a significant number of contractors related to air traffic control?
So the FAA closed about 100 towers back when I first joined in, like in the 80s. And those towers are run by contract employees. They were working, but the maintenance... If you're contract maintenance, you're not working. So also because of the budget cut, they're only fixing things on an emergency basis, and they send home the pilots that test the equipment. Once it's put back in service, it has to be tested by special pilots.
Right.
And and before they let the public fly it, all that gets backed up. Routine maintenance to keep things from breaking, that's done. They don't do that during shutdowns. Anybody, again, like staffing that isn't actually working on the floor, either in the tower or in the radar room, they're sent home. They're not working. So it's a big mess.
Wow.
Big mess. And
wow.
The contract employees probably will not get their money back.
Doesn't sound like it unless there's, I heard certain calls for it in the Senate today for trying to do something, but it wasn't clear what could be done.
Yeah, the FAA Academy is about two-thirds contract trainers. And also, a lot of the training at the big facilities, that's all done by contract also. So there's no training anyway. They send the trainees home.
Wow. Any businesses that were dependent, like the services or something like that?
Absolutely. Think about FedEx and UPS and those guys. I mean, their business now is at the airport. So when you get a problem at some of the airports starting to have a slowdown, then that's going to affect all of that.
Right.
So, absolutely. I mean, you could talk about things, think of all things that have to show up in the mail, bank checks, stuff like that are all sent out by mail, everything like that process.
Right.
So it's sort of affecting banking, you're affecting transportation industries, all kinds of things.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a lot of middle-class jobs.
Oh my God, that's what.
Well, that's the whole economy.
No, we're all middle class workers, and you know, the attack on the middle class again. And well, luckily now it's over. And the same thing happened in 2013. I don't know if you remember, but I was working in 2013, and suddenly there was a problem at Washington National in Dulles, and the politicians trying to escape Washington couldn't get home. So
that's
I went back
great.
To Washington, and suddenly it was all over.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I mean, it's, you know, hey,
I wish we could have thought of this sooner. Yeah.
Well, we don't think of it. Things happen. It's like over time. You know,
yeah.
You know, a lot of these, you know, you got to be home for your kids. If they, you know, just things happen over time. It just starts to build and build, and pretty soon you got to find another way to pay the mortgage. I mean, you got to think about people living on Long Island or in Boston or in San Francisco, and how long can you go without paying your mortgage?
Yeah, that's right.
Air traffic controllers are mostly in big cities. You know, that's where most of the air traffic controllers are, and those people have, you know.
Sure.
You have to pay the bill.
It's expensive,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. Wow, man. Well, so it looks to me like we're going to get back online here, at least the full-time, at least the federal employees, and those who have not quit somehow, that I don't know how much of a problem that'll be, but I guess we'll find out.
It's a big problem. If you quit, it's almost impossible to get back in. And I was just talking to one of my friends off the ledge, the proverbial ledge this morning. You know, he was starting to panic, and he put in his paperwork for to work in Dubai. You know, obviously now it's over with, so he can go back to work. But
yeah.
I mean, people start to think, you know, it's, and his wife has MS. As a matter of fact, it's kind of, it's a mess. I mean, people can only go so far. They can't. You know, I mean,
no, I know, right. I mean, what are you going to do at a certain point, right? So,
right.
Well, it's a horrible act, you know. I mean, to hold all those families hostage in that way for an issue that, you know, is not the only emergency I see is a racial one. Frankly, I mean, I'm having a hard time making. So you're going to shut down your government because you have an emergency at your border. It looked to me like an entire script of how to go declare an emergency, you know, by shutting down the government and creating a real one. But apparently Nancy Pelosi has somehow followed Jerry Brown with his Buddhist deep game advice and has somehow performed an interesting miracle, at least legislatively.
It kind of reminded me of a skilled mom dealing with a child that was misbehaving.
Yeah, a little.
You know, if you ever seen it in a store, some moms know how to get their kids to behave, and others don't. And apparently, she showed some skills that, you know, that most of us don't have. Because I know I wouldn't have the patience.
I know it took some zen to somehow navigate through that one. I just it's so strange. And we have to say, I think that Joe Manchin did play a role here in the end as the guy,
a guy that
walks into the sandwich and helps make the middle road sandwich. He put it out that he was going to do it, and he actually did what he said he was going to do. And those seven guys plus him voted for both bills, and sort of created a bridge.
Well, they definitely put the writing on the wall for the president to begin with, and then this morning the big mess in New York and Philadelphia.
Right.
That, you know, excuse me.
Right.
But,
right.
So,
all right, man.
Very interesting.
All right. So we might try to get a hold of you again in a succeeding show here to get an update on how things are, in fact, coming together or not. As the case may be. Okay, thank you so much, man, for updating us. And we'll get this podcast up here tomorrow, okay? Thank you.
Hey, John, and see you, brother. I love you, man.
Yeah, I'm sending you the link right now so you'll have it in your email.
Awesome, thank you.
All right, buddy.
All right, man.
Thank you, man. Okay, thank you so much. Take care.
You.
Right. Well, JB, that was worth doing. Thank you so much for pushing the button there. Okay, pal.
Should we try?
The show's already long enough. We're already at the.
All right.
Yeah. Well, we'll do it again.
Okay.
But that was great. What an update. I'm glad. You're right. He sounds like he's getting ready to celebrate. So good for him. Good for all those guys.
He deserves it, man. I mean, that's one of the hardest jobs there is.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And I mean, the stress.
It's critical.
You've got all these planes flying within, you know, feet of each other. You know, hopefully hundreds of feet, but sometimes they get close.
Absolutely.
That would definitely lead to a little stress on the job, I would
say.
Oh,
my God, yeah, you know, just Jesus.
I took the test for that because I had an uncle in the FAA, and he guided me to try out for it. And
what happened there, buddy?
I'm glad I wasn't chosen because I probably would have taken it, you know, at the time. I could use the money.
Right, you probably have a stroke by now, you know, so... Well, you know, the stress, you know, can, I bet it drives some people, you know, how do you relieve the stress when you get off work and, you know, you can get into, you know, abuse, you know, probably easily.
Well, Mike never had a hard time relieving his stress.
Well, that's
good. I'll put it that way.
Okay. Well, good. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. We went to a lot of football games together and he always had it was the life of the party.
Okay. Well, that's good. So, as long as you can get straight before you climb into the airplane. But
And good family.
Or climb into the...
He's got a couple sons.
Yeah, I think I met him. Yeah. Very nice. Yeah, right. They live in Charleston, right? So.
Yeah. And his wife is, you know, she works with Ted Bettner.
Oh, okay. Well... Yeah,
so it's a very tight-knit group.
Why don't we get some of our a show going next week where we get some of our delegates to call in? Delegates to the Labor Council. You know, like some of the people that went down and we kick around what might be good things to do in the Eastern Panhandle or something.
Yeah, you get Dale Manuel and I'll get Patricia Rucker. How's that?
No, I don't want Patricia Rucker.
How about Unger? You want Unger?
No, I don't want to get a delegate. I want to get our labor delegates.
Oh, I see.
You know, I want to get some of our teachers, you know, talking about labor here.
Linnea, you want to get Linnea?
Linnea's good, but I think people that went to the legislative conference and updating people on what's really, you know, really moving forward with exposing what's going on in that legislature. That's important because according to Doyle, right now there is not going to be funding for either Mark or Shepard and Blue Ridge, that they're
dragging their feet.
Yes,
so they haven't passed a bill yet.
So anyway, and then there's the whole omnibus bill thing, which is probably a way to get the Democrats to vote against their own pay raise, so they can kill all those other things, and then the session's over, and it's too late, and nobody gets any money.
Well, that's what they're hoping. That's what they're hoping.
Well, that's the plan.
The teachers play their cards right.
If they stay organized, you can start to build some momentum again. Look, they're getting ready to pull it right, take it right out of your pocket. What Justice said is could end up being bull if they take it out of your pocket.
Bull from the start. We knew it was bull from the start.
Well, his budget proposal. And that makes you think it was. You guys just cut this to hell while I go to the Greenbrier and hang out for a while, right? So.
Well, remember the union said, "Hey, we'll just put it in writing, Jim, and we'll be good. You know, we won't even talk about it." And he wouldn't do it. Remember?
No, I don't remember that. I missed that one. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, he said trust. He basically said trust me.
Why don't you trust me?
Just trust me, man.
Oh, sure.
I know it's good for you.
Right. I know. Oh boy, that's like the Spring Hill mine disaster about to happen. I know what's good for you boys.
But there's a lot of real sneaky stuff in that omnibus education bill.
Yeah.
That's going to be a big topic, the whole thing.
So, but I think we need to do that. But I'd like to do it. I mean, maybe if we get one legislator. I know Doyle wouldn't mind calling in, or Sammy.
Somebody on education. Sammy would be the one.
Either one.
Probably just on judiciary.
I think she is on judiciary, but either one, and see if we can get and see if we can get then some of our labor council people, like you know, our teacher reps who else? We had Nancy won't get on there. She won't get on the boat.
No, we can get Gay. Maybe Gay will want to
get on. Gay might, yeah.
We've got a bunch of characters. We should be able to find some.
Who's our vice president's name? Is it Fred Frank, right?
Grant.
Grant, I'm sorry, Grant. Well, Grant's good. Grant likes to talk. You know,
yeah,
so...
he'd be great on here.
Yeah, we can do that and see whether... see whether you can even get Kenny on the if not, I wouldn't mind trying to call up and see if we can get someone from the State Fed to call in, Josh or some appointed person, maybe. So That might help too.
That should be easily arranged.
Okay, why don't I'll send a note to Josh and see if he'd do that for next week. Okay, and we can then the local ones will be a little easier for us.
Or
to set
Andy would be good too.
Andy,
the VP, the Secretary Treasurer.
Okay, would you know him? I don't know him.
Andy Walters, I think his name.
Right.
Is.
Right. I don't know him. I know I know Josh, yeah. But either one would be great. Okay, generally, I'm
right.
Sure both would be doing fine. All right. Well, why don't we bring it to a close today, and I'll get this up tomorrow morning, okay? This is a good one.
Okay. I'm sorry we didn't get to Bill.
Well, we'll do it. Just set it up for next week. This thing's not over for 3 weeks.
Yeah, and Bill can weigh in on a lot of things, too.
Right. You know, and I think that'll be a great...
He's very well-rounded.
That'll be a great talk, you know, great talk. All right, buddy.
Thanks a lot, John.
I think it's great, and it's great news for us, and solidarity for everybody, okay?
That's right. Peace, love, out.
All right, man. I'm going to play some Jerry on the way out here, man. Take it easy.
Oh, great. I like that Brothers and Sisters at the beginning.
Well, I might play it again. Okay, so there you go.
All right,
buddy. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right.
Say to my sisters and my brother, keep the faith. When the storm flies and the wind blows, go on at a steady pace. When the battle is fought and the victory's won, we can all shout together, we have overcome. We'll talk to the Father and the Son when we make it to the promised land. Walk together, little children. We don't ever have to worry. Through this world of trouble, we gotta love one another. Let us take a fellow man by the hand. Try to help him to understand. We can all be together forever and ever when we make it to the promised land. Not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. No, for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, no, for the destruction that waiteth in the noonday hour. We walk together, little children. We don't ever have to worry. Through this world of trouble, we gotta love one another. Let us take a fellow man by the hand, try to help him to understand. We can all be together forever and ever if we make it to the promised land.
Make it to the promised land.
to the promised land. We can all be together forever and ever when we make it to the promised land.
Spiritual tune. I like to do that kind of thing on Sundays.